In this interview, recorded for WSM.ie, Dr. Mary Favor of Doctors for Choice explains the background of the ABC judgment and what the judgment will mean for pro-choice struggles in Ireland. You can read more background material at www.wsm.ie/pro-choice.
Okay, I'm talking to Dr. Mary Favor from Doctors for Choice. We've just heard the ruling in the ABC case, Ireland versus ABC in the European Court of Human Rights. Mary, what do you think of the judgment?
From the point of view of Doctors for Choice, from the point of view of the women of Ireland, anybody involved in political campaigns to try and change the abortion law in Ireland, this is a huge and important, significant decision. From a doctor's point of view, because it was the C case, it involved the fact that her medical care was compromised in Ireland because of a fear and a difficulty accessing abortion. This will make a fundamental difference now. The government will have to legislate and make a change, and this should hopefully substantially reduce the number of women travelling to the UK or elsewhere for abortions.
Can you just explain a little bit in detail about the C case and exactly what it involved again? Wider ruling went the way it did.
The C case, she was the third of the three. She was a woman who unfortunately developed a very rare form of cancer and went through a very complicated and detailed forms of chemotherapy and treatment over about 3 years. She, at the time of her treatment, she asked whether a future pregnancy would be compromised or would compromise her remission from cancer. Nobody could answer this question. Unfortunately, after the completion of her treatment, she became unintentionally pregnant. She then obviously became very concerned as to what the implications of this were, and she consulted numbers of doctors, medical specialists in the area, trying to seek reassurance. Nobody could reassure her, nor would they, apparently, because of the strictures of the law, because the implication was that if they said to her that her health would be compromised by an ongoing pregnancy, she might seek an abortion. So doctors were silenced. They basically censored themselves. She became very anxious, obviously. She researched it in detail on the internet. The conclusion she came to was that she should have a termination of pregnancy, and she travelled to the UK for that.
There's specific points made here in regard to the medical profession and how it's had to act under the current situation where there's a full prohibition on abortion. What do you think will be the implications of the court's ruling in regard to the medical profession?
I think doctors will welcome it, because silence, as we discussed earlier, has been a significant problem for the medical profession. And it's hard for doctors to raise their head above the parapet and say, to advocate on behalf of women for their both individual rights and for societal rights. Now I think they can have this judgment in one hand as they tackle the government, tackle politicians, tackle the governors of boards and the Catholic ethos in hospitals. Doctors will welcome it as well, because they can now seek specific training in this area and seek to break that silence and support women.
And just to conclude, broadly speaking, you think this is a very positive and welcomed judgment overall?
It's a hugely welcome judgment. I think it's a sad day for Ireland that we've had to go this route, and that you had to take the courage of three women that took 5 years on their own, effectively, but supported phenomenally by the Family Planning Association and a legal team through them. But I think it's a great day for Ireland, in the sense that now we can have an adult, reasonable discussion about abortion, a complicated subject as it is, but we need to get it out in the open. And it's about best health care, it's about women's reproductive rights, it's about access to an equitable, publicly funded abortion service in Ireland. Abortion is illegal in Ireland. However, in spite of that, approximately 5,000 women travel abroad for abortions every year. Roughly thought to be about 150,000 women since 1980. They largely travelled to the UK and the Netherlands. So we have a situation where abortion is illegal, however we export the problem. That 5,000 women roughly represents between 1 in 10, 1 in 15 women in Ireland of reproductive age who had had an abortion. So for a population of 4 million people, we have a significant number of people accessing abortion, even though it's illegal. The ABC cases are three women who took a case to the European Court starting in 2005, stating that the Irish law and legal situation breaches their human rights. They have made extraordinary progress there, by getting their case, first of all, heard because it was thought it might be thrown out because they hadn't followed domestic remedy or because the European Court will often rule that abortion is covered by the legal requirements of the individual country and they don't rule on it. And then it was actually moved to a Grand Chamber hearing where a full oral presentation was made. The three cases in the what's known as the ABC case, they're anonymised, represent the broad spectrum of Irish women who travel for abortion, the 5,000 ordinary women. So one was a woman who had significant social and domestic problems. Her children were in the care of the state. She had made significant progress with social workers to get her own personal life back on the rails. Just as this was all coming together, she found herself unintentionally pregnant. She was absolutely certain that this was the last thing that she should take on and that she owed a duty of care to her her children who were in the care of the state. This was agreed by all who were giving her professional input, including the social workers. However, she was not in a position to access an abortion in Ireland so that she could ensure the best care of her existing children. She travelled to the UK for an abortion. The other case was another case then was a woman who had a threatened ectopic pregnancy. She could not receive confirmation from any medical opinion in Ireland that whether this would threaten the baby's life or her life, and so she travelled to the UK for an abortion. The final case was a woman who had suffered from cancer and had undergone chemotherapy for 3 years. Following the cessation of treatment and being in remission, she became unintentionally pregnant. She had received some care through the early stages of that pregnancy, including toxic drugs. She could not receive any assurances that the pregnancy or herself would not be affected, and she travelled to the UK for an abortion. They're the three cases.
Right, that's very good. Can you move on to tell us what would be the implications of these cases in terms of the ruling if it were to be found that the Irish state had contravened the human rights of these three women?
The significance of it is very important because there have been a number of different organisations who have reported unfavourably on the abortion situation. So Human Rights Watch, the Women's Health Council line, there have been many reports stating that the human rights of women are being breached in Ireland by our current lack of legislation on abortion. So the finding of a positive ruling from the European Court of Human Rights is that the Irish government, whoever is in power, would have to change the law. They would have to legislate to allow the provision of legal, safe abortion in Ireland to cover the examples of these three cases, which are examples of very common circumstances that doctors, who are members of Doctors for Choice, would come across in their daily work. So it should have profound influence. The other big significance to it is that the status of the European Court is such that the eyes of Europe and the world are watching and saying that it is no longer acceptable in a civil society to have such a criminalisation of abortion as we do in Ireland. And that will contribute towards the breaking of the silence around abortion and getting some proper discussion going. Because all the actual opinion polls, all the recent ones in the last 5 to 10 years, show that there is a majority of the Irish population saying they would favour the legalisation and decriminalisation of abortion. There is an impetus there and a social will. The government just now needs to act.
And I'm correct in saying that the Irish government have fought this case and have fought against the three women in the European Court. Is that correct?
They have fought this case tooth and nail. The Irish government, I would imagine, were incensed that it went this far. And I would imagine they used all their diplomatic pressure to stop it going any further. But I think it's an example of the strength of the case that it went to a full hearing in the Grand Chamber. They quoted lots of statistics that were irrelevant and some cases were wrong. They, for instance, argued that you could get an abortion in Ireland if the health of the mother suggested that you could, using the example of ectopic pregnancy. Now, anybody in the medical profession, particularly obstetricians and gynaecologists, know that that's no comparison whatsoever. Ectopic pregnancy has no relevance to the issue of abortion. But they were quoting these statistics right, left and centre. However, they were very robustly counteracted by the counsel, Julie Kay, for the three women, and also by the judges themselves, who patently just didn't believe it. The other thing, the reputations of the women were impugned. There were suggestions that they were exceptional or unusual or somehow not worthy. There was implications they should have had recourse to the law in Ireland, even, of course, who would have funded that. I think it was all somewhat unsavoury, and it did no credit to the Irish government in such a public fora.
As a doctor, you're a general practitioner. Can you explain the silence of the medical profession in regard to the situation that these three women and their cases are highlighting?
I think the silence of the medical profession is historic, and it represents an Ireland that, a cultural issue in Ireland that was dominated by a conservative establishment and the omnipotence of the and power of the Catholic Church. And I think you can't underestimate how conservative the medical profession worldwide, but particularly in Ireland, has historically been, and the dominance of the Catholic Church within medical school training, medical school teaching in hospitals, and then just the general care of patients. The vast majority of Irish hospitals are still owned and run by the Catholic Church or Protestant churches, but largely Catholic. And as you know, the dominance of in Irish culture of the Catholic conservative ethos has been profound, but it's changing. And I think as much as society is changing, I think doctors are having to catch up. And we are also starting to have an awareness that our silence only compounds the problem. How can we expect our patients to have a voice if we don't? How can we expect them to have the courage, for instance, of these three women in the ABC case, and that takes profound courage, if we don't show courage and we aren't seen to be advocates of women in their quest for reproductive justice?
In relation to the ABC cases, I mean, there is the issue of the medical profession and its silence. How can you account for that silence? What do you make of it?
I think the silence of the medical profession around abortion has been profound, unfortunately. However, I do think it has reflected a historic cultural tradition in Ireland. I don't think it can be underestimated how deeply conservative and Catholic-dominated the medical profession and the professions in general have been. Ireland has been a deeply conservative society. The medical profession has been part of that. And you've got to be aware that the Catholic Church has been steeped in medical education, controls the training of young doctors in hospitals, and controls to this day the vast majority of Irish hospitals. Are controlled by the Catholic Church and therefore represent Catholic ethos. So for doctors, as part of that, they have maintained a very easy silence because they've hidden behind the general silence of the Irish community. However, I think that is changing, and it has to change. There's significant evidence that the Irish population now supports change to the abortion legislation, and doctors need to keep up, basically, and be aware that their silence only perpetuates problems for individual patients and groups of women. Silence has surrounded the issue of abortion in Ireland, but an important issue for doctors is that they need to break that silence and be advocates both for the individual patient and for groups of women. Not just advocates around abortion, but advocates for issues such as equity and access and social justice. In the area of abortion, there's a leadership role that doctors can take by breaking the silence. And I don't think they'll find it anywhere near as hard as they may think so. But it takes courage. The example is the courage of the three women who took this case in the A, B and C, as they're known. That represents phenomenal courage against all types of adversity, including the full power of the Irish government against them in the European Court. And I think it's an example for us all in the medical profession.
Yeah, I mean, it seems, I've read elsewhere where you've talked about the fact that the medical profession really is confronted day in and day out by the reality of women in Ireland seeking to terminate their pregnancies and obviously most often going over to England. They're all obviously also seeing women when they return from England. But this silence that they have, it must be problematic for them in terms of their own professional standards. I mean, is that the case?
Yes, I think there's a couple of issues. Doctors have often articulated to me in private, both members of Doctors for Choice and non-members, that one of the conflicts they've had is that when they deal with individual patients, of course they're supportive of them. They've even helped them with information, they've helped with making contact, they've helped them procure abortions and looked after them when they come back. However, when asked to actually speak about it publicly, they've suffered from this very Irish hypocrisy of what I do in private is completely different to what I say I do in public. And our politicians particularly have suffered from this, who admitted that if it was a family member who needed an abortion, of course they would assist and even take them to England themselves, but wouldn't ever declare that publicly. So for Irish doctors, there is a conflict of what they do in individual cases for what they state in public. And I think for doctors, ending that silence is very important. But it's more than just support of the women. It's about professional values. And advocacy is a core part of professional values and professionalism. And I think it's an increasing issue for doctors to look at what is our role within that.
Okay, thank you very much for talking to Workers' Solidarity online.
You've been listening to an interview with Dr. Mary Faber from Doctors for Choice. To find out more about pro-choice struggles in Ireland, see the WSM website at www.wsm.ie/pro-choice.